Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Are you healed up, buddy?
No.
No? You still all fucked up?
Well, I got bruises. So the funny thing with this, so if you guys follow me on social media, I made a post the other day about I'm trying to learn how to use a foil surfboard. It's a surfboard that flies up over the top of the water on wings that are down in the water, on foils, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's for stupid people. Got it. Go ahead. Continue.
It is not anything like wake surfing or wakeboarding.
No, it's its own thing.
It's its own thing.
It's its own thing, man.
And I now know that if you want to learn this, you throw everything out the window that you've ever learned about any water sports, and this is like its own thing. So I've gone out 4 attempts. I've never ridden longer than about 4 seconds, and I've got more bruises now than I probably ever had in my life. So because basically this thing is like...
Yeah.
It's 79 centimeters tall. It's like 3 feet tall.
It's a keel with 2 fins on it.
Yeah. It's a keel with the fuselage and 2 wings on the bottom. And then it's a surfboard that you stand on. Well, the problem is if you're up out of the water and this thing, if you lose control, your feet and the board go one way, your body lands square on the wings. And so I've got bruises everywhere landing on these wings.
I don't understand. Why aren't you like bailing further or sooner? Is it because you're not feeling it coming?
No. So some of it is just the way that you fall.
But every time you fall, you're seriously eating shit.
No. So I've probably tried 60 or 70 attempts getting up and,
I'm trying not to destroy you.
Yeah. No, it's 60 or 70 attempts.
Sorry.
I've probably landed on the foils 6 times.
Ouch.
So most of the time you can fall away. And especially if it's up on foil, there's a lot of resistance there. And if you lose your balance,
jump.
You could jump.
Yeah.
Right?
That's my question. So how are you getting hurt? Is it in the takeoffs?
No. So if you foil too high too fast, the foils come up out of the water.
Yeah.
Well, then they have no stability.
Now you're tumbling.
And so then everything just kind of crumbles. And
you're on it.
Because you're the center of mass. And
maybe you should start hanging onto the rope a little longer.
Well,
like let it pull you away from the board.
Ironically, I just found...
That's a good way to get drowned.
Well, I just found a really good video on YouTube to show like 6 basic things you need to learn when you're trying it. And a lot of it was like answering problems that Mason and I have discovered with this whole thing. We didn't know what the solutions were, but we recognized there were problems. And then this video addresses like, are you tired of falling on the board? Then do this. And then are you tired of losing your balance? Then do this. And
did you not like, I'm not smashing your balls, but did you not like look at those up first?
No.
You just went out there and thought, I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah, I didn't at first because at first I thought it's just another extension of surfing. I thought like, well, this is just
piece of cake.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm like,
shit, dude, I
can surf. This is like next level surfing. No, it is not.
No, it's completely different.
Yeah.
It's completely, I don't even want to fuck with it.
So when, like, it
doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
Like when I see someone on it, like it doesn't look fun.
No, it's like the most chill, relaxing ride ever. And it's so smooth because you don't have any ripples on the top of the water. You don't feel.
Yeah.
Because you're flying on wings under the water.
Yeah. That's why I would rather just be in the boat. With a cool cocktail, like just hanging
too.
Out, you know, like, I no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm no thanks.
So the logical, I'm like out. What I'm trying to get to is like wakeboarding wears you the fuck out.
Yeah.
You do 2 10-minute sessions on the wakeboard and you are waxed.
Yeah.
Right?
And I love that.
Especially for a guy like me who doesn't ever do cardio and I only lift weights. Like I don't have that great of cardio.
Yeah.
Right. So like typically the sequence is going to be that you do wakeboarding. And then once you're worn out from wakeboarding, you go surfing because surfing doesn't take near as much energy. And then once you're worn out from surfing, then you can go foiling, because foiling is basically standing on a board and just carving and enjoying. You can do tricks and shit like that, but
yeah.
So, and then also too, with a foil board, it takes a much smaller wave to keep you going. So I can surf the second wave on the foil board while Mason's surfing the first wave on the surfboard.
Oh,
you can actually have two.
There's the long play. Yeah.
So the long play. We got a long way to get there, but we're going to get there.
You do. I got a funny thing to tell you. It's not that funny. You know, I like to have a big garden every year, right? And then we're going to get into the topics.
Yeah, you get 14,000 tomatoes and you can't give them away fast enough.
It doesn't make money. It costs money, but I like being outside, you know, doing all that stuff. So every year Layla wants to buy pumpkins and carve pumpkins, right? Like, so we go, you get four, it's like $100.
Right.
It's freaking ridiculous. This year.
Growing your own pumpkins.
Yeah, dad's like, let's get some pumpkins, right?
Are you gonna do one of them big ones?
Dude, so I planted the pumpkins, they're up, everything's up, and the leaves, I'm not shitting you.
Yeah, they're massive. The leaves, elephant ears.
They're like elephant ears, and yep. I'm like, well, that's weird. Like, so I'm out there watering it, and I was like, man, they're kind of taking over. So I go get the seed packet, and I'm looking at it. Dude, I bought the ones that are supposed to be like
the gargantuans.
Six foot in diameter is what it says, up to 150 pounds. I'm like, you fucking idiot. So if you want some giant pumpkins to carve and put on your porch, I'm going to have some this year.
We got to find something fun to do with them.
I don't know what I was thinking, dude.
We'll take
one. I wonder what happens if you fill a pumpkin with oxy and acetylene.
I'm thinking dynamite.
Can you? Yeah.
Like we do some cool video.
We're going to blow one up, and it's going to be like in Tremors when they blew up the little monster thing.
The problem is I'm going to come over here and do it in your driveway, and it's going to be all over your house.
We've already had a court proceedings for 4th of July at my house, so let's not.
Yeah, so I screwed up.
Thankfully, charges were dropped.
Yeah. Janine's like, what are you going to do with those? So there's only two plants, and each plant has like 10 buds on it already. And it's supposed to, it
literally
says. Yeah,
the flowers turn into the pumpkin.
Yeah, it literally says that they're going to be between 4 and 6 foot in diameter. I was like,
Your water bill is about ready to skyrocket.
I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was like, what if we just lined the driveway with them? Like our driveway is 300 feet long. Like what if we just, and we made them all jack-o'-lanterns, like giant fucking jack-o'-lanterns. She's like, people will think you're a sadist. I was like, yeah, you're probably, or Satanist. I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
Get a bunch of black hats.
What you
I don't
wanna
know
do,
what I'm going to do.
You know, during Halloween, they got the 12 foot skeletons at Home Depot.
Yeah.
And there's like whole Facebook groups around these 12 foot skeletons, right? And I mean, they're pricey, but they look cool. You ought to get one. Take the head off of it
and put a real
and
pumpkin,
put a pumpkin
on
head
How's
on
that,
there.
Dude, that's 130 pounds. How am I going to do that?
You'll figure it out. You got a welder.
What?
See, this is probably the thing you need. Like, you need a little bit of spontaneity and risk, and this is it right here.
You're right. What I think I'm going to do is I'm going to buy one of those skeletons, and I'm going to set it in Mitch's driveway like it's sitting down, and I'm going to put giant AC brackets on his house. And then I'm going to come over here with a loader and set one of those fucking pumpkins on it and then just leave.
Or no, get a bunch of pumpkins and make a paintball course with it.
I don't know
like
what I'm
going to
do. They're so, freaking huge.
You know what my idea was with those 12-foot skeletons? I want to buy one and strap it to the top of one of our work vans and make it look like it's hanging on for dear life. Mm. You want to talk about marketing and like having everybody in
that's
town
actually
take
really
your
good
photo?
That's actually a really good idea.
You get it around Halloween time and you got a skeleton riding on the top of it. It wouldn't be standing up.
Yeah,
right?
It'd be laying down.
It'd be laying
like
down.
Like the hands are over the glass. Yeah. Like it's hanging on.
Yeah.
That's actually really good. I got a pumpkin for the head if you want one.
I've wanted to do that forever. I've never found one of those 12-foot skeletons. They're always out of stock every time
I'm going to rent a loader and come over here one day when Mitch is at work and there's going to be like 57 pumpkins in his front yard.
I know he's lying. You want to know how I know he's lying? Because his cheap ass ain't renting a loader.
Fuck, I won't.
Well, the thing is, you don't underestimate him now because he's like retired now, partially.
Right.
So don't underestimate him. He's going to...
He's on a fixed income. He's minding his P's and Q's on the dot.
That's not true. I should be, but I'm not. Oh, God. That's not true. I actually just finished a table the other day.
So remember a couple of shows ago, we were talking about how to handle unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
And
it's been like 3 episodes ago.
Yeah. I was telling you about my neighbor who
is insane,
who was trying to convince me that our texting campaign was illegal
and
against the FCC guidelines and he was going to sue me and all this shit, right?
You going to court? You need some cash?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'll loan you some money.
But
8%. I got to make money. I'm semi retired, apparently.
So,
which is 100% not true.
Sunday, June 2nd.
Okay.
I get a text.
This was last Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, June 2nd, I get a text, and it says, our friends and family sale ends tonight. Enjoy 20% off statewide orders. Use code blah, blah, blah. Hurry up and shop now, and it gives me their website.
What's it for?
It's that dude's business.
Nice.
No text stop to opt out. No reply to opt out. So I've never opted in.
So he just texts you.
I've never been a customer of his, right?
Oh, and let me guess. You just couldn't let it go.
So I text stop. Monday, same exact text. Our sale ends tonight. Enjoy 20% off. Okay, so now we know, for one, you have no loyalty to your sale. You said it ended Sunday night, but it doesn't. And I get another text on Monday, same thing. I reply, how do I unsubscribe? I get nothing. And then today, I get another one that says, last chance, our friends and family sale ends tonight.
Yeah, he's just fucking with you. You know that, right?
Couple of things
here. He's living rent-free in your house, because look at your face right now.
No.
Yeah.
Couple of things.
Oh, 100%. Austin's like, yeah.
On the business side of things, if your sale ends on a day and you extend it, you lose all credibility.
Yeah.
Right?
Jinx.
If you don't honor your deadline, then you don't honor shit, right? So
most of the time,
if this is not a cruel joke, that's the worst sales pitch ever.
Yes, like, it is.
Tonight's the last night. Tomorrow's the last night. The next night's the last night.
It's not a joke. He's literally...
Right.
He's... what? God, my brain is so fried right now. He's literally baiting you.
So then I get another text today that says the good news keeps rolling in, blah, blah, blah.
You can just block his phone number, right?
I've blocked it now. Because there is no way for me to opt out, right?
You know what I think you should do? I think you should go to the FCC.
Turn them into the FCC, yeah. Right? Totally could.
Like, I don't like being a tattletale, but sometimes it's fun.
Right. Yeah. Like, so, you know, ironically...
You're retired.
Yeah.
Ironically, stop it. The day that I got Austin. That first text, I started getting a lot of phishing, scammy-looking texts. Those texts that come from a weird
selling
number.
Your phone number out?
Maybe.
Selling your data?
Do you know those weird texts that come from a number and it's like...
What's his... I got to have some information. What is it he's selling you? You just said sale. What is it?
So he sells CBD and kratom products.
Oh.
He owns a kratom manufacturing facility.
Okay. Here in town. Just a complete loser. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
understood. I thought it was something legit, like actual pot.
Yeah. No, it's just, no, it's just funny
fake
that
pot
like
and shit. Got
every argument he had trying to say this is you're in violation of federal law and all this stuff. Literally, he's gone back on every single stance he took and has proved himself wrong. It's so funny.
No, that's not it. He's doing it to fuck with you.
Well, he could be. But yeah. Fucking with me or not, that's still a pitch.
Yeah, but...
It's still a link to his website.
But he knows it. He's just fucking with you.
Yeah. So...
I say turn his ass in.
I'm not...
Do you want me... Look, man, I got a lot of free time right now. Like, you want to talk about it after the show?
Maybe.
Okay. I do a lot of things for cash. I'm just saying.
Right. So
no Venmos. I'm talking cold, hard bills.
Right.
Cold, hard bills.
Like no Facebook Marketplace is safe from Dave.
No.
Right.
Oh, there's a shopping cart. Go car. Let's go see what I can get that for.
Dude, I've been, you know what? I've got a lot of things on my radar right now. You're right.
Yeah.
Maybe our next show should just be weird stuff that Dave likes to look at.
YouTube
and
channel.
Buy and things he's thinking about doing.
This show is family friendly, Dave.
No, it's not. Who the fuck are you trying to fool? No, it's not.
Tell me you're lying without telling me you're lying.
Yeah, yeah, no shit.
I think we said dick pic like four times in the last show.
Don't say we. God.
Well,
you said dick pic.
You took the picture, but it was my cucumber, eggplant.
What? We just took a weird left turn.
All right.
You want to talk about something?
Yeah, let's actually get into some business shit.
Oh,
here.
Oh my God.
So, two topics for today. We've got learning from others while running your own race. And then we also have simple scales while complex fails. And these topics actually kind of tie into each other. So, learning from others while running your own race. What this refers to is...
You're going to have to explain it to me because I'm lost.
So there's a lot of people that, like, the internet is a great help, but it's also a great hindrance. And what I mean by that is I can get on National Plumbing Facebook groups and I can ask questions and I can learn what works for everybody all around the nation, right? I can learn that, you know, guys in California don't charge a service charge and they're killing it. So maybe we don't need to charge a service charge, right? Or... You know, guys in Illinois are charging a service charge and they're killing it. So maybe we need to charge a service charge.
Right? Yeah.
And so you have to take and you could find examples of that through and through. Do you offer financing? Do you not offer financing? Do you do payment plans? Do you not do payment plans? Do you?
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Sell Kohler products, do you not? Moen, you know, all these, like,
yeah,
everything, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, just because it works for somebody else doesn't mean it's going to work for you. And where that's coming from is, like, let's just say the state of California, for example, especially on the coast. That is a very interesting dynamic in California where the rules that work there don't apply everywhere else in the nation.
No, it's an interesting place. We have a member at Tradewinds that has a company in California and one in Tennessee. And he literally will say, dude, it's completely opposite.
Yeah. He's got two locations and he has to manage each one of them completely different. Yeah. Right.
Like now, when we talk, I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, I literally want to ask him, I don't know how you're doing it, man.
Right.
It's completely different.
Well, and for instance, I went last summer, I visited San Francisco and beautiful city. Like, it looked great. I didn't know it at the time. We were there in the weeks before those Chinese diplomats or dignitaries or whatever showed up.
Yeah. So they had cleaned up the whole city.
Yeah. We didn't know that. We show up and we're like, this isn't anything like it is on social media. Like, I haven't seen a homeless guy yet. And there's not one pile of shit in the street.
Yeah. It's because they took a whole bunch of money and they were like, hey, look, why these guys
go away for a minute.
Yeah. We're going to pay for your hotel rooms for 2 weeks. Don't come outside. Here's your drugs and money.
Yeah. That's exactly what they did.
I know. I 100% know.
They do it for the Oscars, too. Every time the Oscars come around, they get the fencing out. Hey, no, you can't be on the street.
Yeah, they don't want that stuff.
But like, everything was really expensive out there, right? Like, everything. You go out for fast food, and it's like $14 a person. You go get gas, and it's like $5 a gallon and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, just to valet park the car was $50.
Yeah.
And that's not including tip. That's just, you want your car parked? It's $50.
Yeah.
You know? And so
it's insane, man.
And it's like, you could either pay 50 or you could get this parking garage that's going to charge you $30 every time you leave.
Yeah.
So valet at 50 a day is actually cheaper than the parking garage at 30 every entrance. Right.
Yeah. You valet.
Yeah. And so, you know, I posed the question on some national Facebook groups, like, hey, what do you guys are in the San Fran area. Like, what are you guys charging? What's your rates? Not a single person had rates as high as mine.
No.
And mine aren't high.
It's because California, like, let's be honest, it's saturated with companies, but not saturated with employees.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. It's a lot of one and three man shops out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's tons and tons and tons of companies to call. But none of those
that
companies
are just doing it for paychecks.
Yeah, none of those companies seem to be able to get big because they can't hire a lot of employees and be big.
Right. And so essentially,
it's just weird.
Like,
I shouldn't say weird. It's just different.
That's just another example of what works for them doesn't mean it works for us, right? I don't know how it works for them, but somehow they're surviving off charging about half of what I am.
Well, let's be honest. They're surviving, not growing.
Right.
Not getting big. Like, you know, we talk about it all the time. The whole deal is to grow your business so that you could either be in a position to sell or be in a position where you don't have to be in it daily and can retire off of it. Right.
Right.
None of those guys are doing that.
Right. Right. Like, they're basically started their own company to replace a job. They don't own a business.
They may. And to be honest, it's probably good for them. They're probably making 20% more. Right. Right? But they have 20% more headaches.
Yeah, probably more than that even.
You know, and they're not growing.
Yeah.
Like,
but that's a testament of like what learn about them, but also just because it works for them doesn't mean it'll work for me. Right? And you're going to see examples like this. The more you look, you're going to see it. I saw an infographic. I wish I would have saved it. But you've got some big name influencers all over the internet, right? And you've got one that's like buy real estate. And then you've got another equally successful influencer that's like, real estate is just wasting your money, right? And you've got one that says invest in the stock market. And then you've got another that's like, do not invest in the stock market. It's wasting your money. And all of these guys are successful in their own right. And so, again, it's just another example of like what works for them may not work for you. And you don't know the whole picture, right? Like the guy that's saying don't buy real estate, he's not saying don't make investments. He's just saying that he's found his fortune in investing in things other than real estate. Jacob Stoller, who spoke at our last Tradewinds event.
Oh, yeah, in Vegas.
He is a big proponent of not getting into real estate, especially if your business is not producing more than $1 million a year in profit, not just sales, profit. He's like, his adage is like, what are you going to do? Plunk $100,000 down on some real estate? And now you think you're like a real estate investor? Meanwhile, if you took that $100,000 and reinvested it back into your business that you already know how to work, you could turn that $100,000 into a lot more than whatever it's going to be in real estate, right? Now, he does say full circle, eventually when you've run out of things to invest your money in, then get into real estate. Or if you're looking to sell your businesses and you want to go passive, now you start investing into real estate. But he was like, this whole real estate thing is it sounds good because all these influencers talk about passive income, passive income, passive income. Literally the only thing that is passive income is like the stock market or investing into somebody else's real estate fund where you're just getting dividend checks.
Yeah. Real estate is not passive.
God, no.
Everyone wants to pretend like it is, but it's not. And I fully believe in real estate.
Yeah.
But it's it's not passive income.
Right.
It's just not. The problem I have is, and this is kind of where this conversation's going, is people will, they'll hear Jacob say that, and then they will take it as full on
Bible.
Yeah. Biblical prophecy. This is what I do.
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
Like, this is the whole, I don't want to ramble, but this is the whole, like, if everyone did what they wanted to do and everyone went in the same way, we'd have no garbage man talk.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? There is a hole to fill everywhere.
Yep.
You have to find your niche market.
Yeah.
But the way to handle yourself, not only in business and as an entrepreneur, is you have to find your niche market regardless of whatever it is. It has to be something that you're happy doing, that you're grateful doing, that you can be good at. And we all have our own little space that all of that, all of those things come together and allow us to make money. Does right. that make sense?
Yep.
Like, not everyone can be Mitch. I'm just gonna use you as an example. I don't want to run a plumbing company and have four guys. Could I do it? Yeah. Would I be happy doing it? Fuck no.
Right.
Like, I hate being on call anymore.
Right.
I used to love it. Don't love it anymore. Hate it. Stop fucking calling me, okay?
Right.
I'm over it. What do I want to do now? Maybe a little real estate. Maybe a little bit in the market. Maybe a little bit of consulting. Like, that's what fuels me now.
Right.
Right? So I obviously can't take every word of advice that Mitch would say. Say Mitch and I didn't know each other, and he comes to me with all this advice, and I'm a plumber. You need to do this. You need to do that. I'm not interested in that. I can't take that all to heart as 100%. It just doesn't work.
Right.
You know what I mean? But people will do that. They will see stuff on social media or on the internet or on TV or whatever and be like, oh, no, that's it. That's gospel. I'm taking it and I'm running with it.
Yep.
Dude, you can't just grab onto one thing and run with it. Mm-hmm. You have to take all of this stuff in, all of these different considerations, real estate, investing, plumbing, all of these different things, and then decide what defines you and is going to make you happy.
Yeah.
And then run with that.
Right.
But people, you're right. People will grab one thing and just be like, nope, that's it. Right.
Maybe a 10-step course, but you only need 3 steps because of the context of your business or something.
Well, and a lot of it, a lot of it branches on to like the college topic, right?
Yeah.
Going in high school, we were all,
yeah, I don't know if they still do this.
Right. I don't know if they still do this or not. It doesn't appear like they do. But like when you and I were in school back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
We graduated in 2000 for everyone that's wondering.
Yeah, we graduated in 2000.
Senior year started in 99.
It was all like, if you want to be successful, you have to go to college. You have to go to college, right?
Yeah.
And so the mantra was, that's the only path to success. Well, Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe, the TV show.
Oh, I like Mike Rowe.
That show, I posted this on December 31st, 2021. Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe featured over 40 multimillionaires, but nobody knew it because success is often covered in muck, slop, and dirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
People have this vision of, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to get a suit and tie job, and I'm going to make $300,000 a year.
Right.
Like, that's, to be honest, like when we were in school, that's what the picture is that they painted.
Yeah.
Right? It's just not true.
Well, I mean, it's true for some people, maybe, right?
Yeah, it's true for maybe 20% of the people that go.
Right. But if you're miserable, then don't do it, right?
I know a lot of people that like literally went to college and make seven figures that hate their life.
I know a lot of people that went to college and that make 50 grand a year.
And hate their life.
Yeah. Right? And
well, that's why I was saying seven, because money doesn't always mean that you're fulfilled.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, it helps. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's
ultimately
when you can pay the bills, it's a lot easier to be happy.
Yeah. Ultimately what you have to learn now, when I say learn from others while running your own race, there's two ways to learn in this world. You can either pay money and pay your time and go attend courses to learn. Okay. For that to be effective, you have to have the money to buy the course. You have to have the time to attend the course. And you have to have the open-mindedness to allow the course to teach you something.
Well, you have to do something with the knowledge you've obtained.
Right.
Like, just because you go somewhere and graduate doesn't mean that the knowledge you learned, you're now relegating to the real world and making a difference with it financially or otherwise.
Right. But ultimately, too, like, so many people don't like the way let's say you go to an event where there's a speaker. And you don't like what he's wearing, or he says one thing that puts you off early in his introduction. And now you're like discrediting the guy, his entire, he could be dropping hella game and you don't know it because you're discrediting him the entire time because he said one thing to rub you the wrong way. Right.
Yeah.
And like, I don't need like the guy to learn from the guy.
Are we getting onto a whole nother topic at the same time? I know where this could go.
Yeah. Well, you look at like our political climate, right?
That's what I'm saying. Society in general, right? Like, it's just
gone are the days where we like our president. Nobody likes the president. Nobody likes the president of the country. Nobody likes the president of a business. Nobody likes the president. What they like is they like what the president accomplishes.
No.
Right? They like that the president makes the tough decisions when the decisions need to be made to give you jobs, to give you food, to give you career opportunities and all of that stuff.
No, that's not true. What's true now is the reason Trump, people hate Trump is because he's mean.
Yeah.
Like, he's mean.
Yeah. Guess what? I want my president to be mean.
Like Steve Harvey, famous black comic. He does Family Feud. Like his big thing was, like, he came out and he was like, look, Trump's one of those guys that you don't like him. He smells funny. You don't think he can do anything. Everything he says is wrong, but the guy gets shit done.
Right. He produces results.
His whole thing was, I hate this guy, but I'm voting for this guy because he's getting the job done.
Right.
Like, but now it's like everyone has, well, if he doesn't appease everyone and make everybody nice, and then I can't vote for him. Who gives a shit?
That's what I'm saying is,
he's a piece of crap. Lately, I would still vote for him. Like, he's a turd.
It used to be like, remember when the presidents would show up on like Saturday Night Live or the Ed Sullivan show or the Dave Letterman show? And this was when they're running.
Yeah.
And they go onto those shows to try to win the personality battle.
Yeah. Bill Clinton would be on Arsenio Hall playing saxophone.
Playing saxophones, right? Yeah.
And
nowadays.
And my family was super Republican. And guess what, though? Every time he was on Arsenio Hall, guess who was watching it? My mom.
Yeah.
It's like, he can really play saxophone.
Yeah.
God rest her soul. But she hated his guts.
Right.
But it's like, man, he's on. He's good. He can play.
Right.
He's wrecking that ass. And, you know, I mean, it's just.
Ultimately, he's wrecking a lot of ass.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I wouldn't vote for the guy, but the guy was a good president.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was.
And I don't have to agree with everything a president says.
Man, dog.
I don't have to agree with everything a president says. I don't have to agree with his stance on non-presidential issues, right? Take Trump, for example. Grab him by the pussy. Cool. I've said some vulgar shit.
Can you say that?
Oh, sure.
Dude, do not bring up stuff I've said.
We've all said vulgar shit. Right? And does that mean we can't run for president? I don't know. Like Jacob Stoller posted a couple of weeks ago, I think I'd run for president so I can, you know, as they dig up the past, I can piece together my 20s because that's kind of a gray area.
Dude, so, if I ran, dude, I'd never make it. They'd be like, oh, this motherfucker.
But ultimately, like, we shouldn't be basing our presidency on the kind of personality a guy has, because I really don't care. And not...
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
No, I don't care.
When I say president,
I don't care. I know exactly what you're saying. I do not care.
Right.
I don't care what he does. I want results.
Well, and when I say presidency, I'm not just talking of the nation. I'm talking president of the company you work for, right?
Well, and let's bring it.
A big company and the president, like, you can't stand the president of your company. However, you can't ignore the fact that he built a big giant company that's obviously profitable because it's still there.
Yeah, you're getting a paycheck every week, dog.
And it's providing jobs and it's benefiting the community and everything else. Like, you don't have to like everything he says. And in fact, he's probably going to say some shit you don't like because he's that cutting edge to build that big of a company.
I wouldn't say cutting edge, but just it doesn't matter what they say.
Right.
Like, you can't. I hate the fact that. And let's bring it back down to, like, more realistic standards. I hate the fact that when one person has one little thing that you disagree with, they will just burn you to like, they won't even talk to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't agree on every little thing. Well, let's be honest. No one agrees on every little thing.
Dave, do you and I agree on everything?
Fuck no.
No, God, no.
Fuck no. But I know if I had to go to war with somebody and I called Mitch and I was like, hey, dude, you want to run this AR I got?
Right.
I'll be there in 5 fucking minutes, dude. Yeah. You know, like, you know, our core values align.
Right.
But no one's is ever going to align completely.
Right.
Like, it's just impossible.
Yeah,
it is.
I don't agree with
impossible.
Everything my wife says. And she's like my ride or die. You know what I mean?
Dude, let's...
She's a redhead.
She's crazy as fuck.
I saw a video on YouTube where it's a guy, he was being critical of what camera brands are doing to up-and-coming YouTubers. The video's like 26 minutes long. You'll have that person that's like, at minute 24 and minutes and 26 seconds, you said this, and that's not all the way true. It's like, you're going to listen to someone's 30-minute speech, and they're like, oh, that one thing.
Yeah, and that's why, like... Not to get completely off topic, but that's like why a lot of people don't go to church anymore, right?
Yeah.
Well, the pastor said one thing. You know, get the fuck over yourself.
Right.
Like, who cares?
Right.
You're not going to... And that's the problem with, like, social media, for instance. Like, one... Like, man, I don't want to bring this up. I'm not going to bring it up. Like, you say one thing, regardless of if you actually... If you just bring up a question, if you just question someone's... belief system, whether you may actually agree with it at the time, but you just bring it up as a general topic of conversation and they take it the wrong way, you're burned at the stake.
Yeah.
I can't talk to that person anymore. Yeah. I can't take any advice from them. I can't be a part of their group.
Right.
Like, what? It's one thing.
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
Like some of the best advice I ever got in business was from a guy that was divorced 5 times. Okay. Now, if I'm a guy who puts marriage on a high pedestal, which I am, I have a choice to make. I could either choose to be so distracted by the number of divorces that guy has and allow that to distort my mind into thinking that he can offer me no sound advice anywhere because he's in this one area of life, marriage, he's a failure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Right?
To be honest,
a brilliant business guy. I'm going to take the business advice from him.
He may actually have a lot of great marriage advice from his trials and tribulations.
Yeah, he's failed more than others, right?
Yeah. Could. So he may have actually good advice. That doesn't mean, and that's kind of what this topic is about, that doesn't mean take everything that he says as gospel and do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it means suck that information in, learn from it, and make your own decisions.
Yeah.
People just have this, and I don't know if it's just a generational thing or an evolution thing or what, but it's like they just can't, for some reason, think for themselves as much anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, well, this person said this and this person says it. Like, what do you think? Well, I don't know. Like, you hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Like, what do you mean you don't know?
That's two reasons.
Think about it. Make up your own mind.
Yeah.
It's like they can't do it. Yeah. My brother is this way. Like, Joe, make a decision. Well, I don't know what to do. Obviously, you don't know what to do. That doesn't mean you can't make a decision.
Right.
Austin.
Right.
Do you have trouble making decisions?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I don't, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's a generational thing. I don't know if it's a younger guy thing. I don't know if it's a societal thing.
Well, some of it comes just, with the prevalence of social media. You've got so many people that are screaming opposing advice and incredible people, not just nobodies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Credible people. Very successful people.
Yeah. We have said a lot of the same phrases today. Yeah.
You get two multimillionaires that are obviously successful, and one saying don't buy real estate and one saying buy real estate. You're at a loss, right? Well, you got to pick what's going to work for you and make a decision and go.
Yeah.
And also, you got to ignore the fact that you're not getting relationship advice from those people. You're not getting, you know, customer service advice from those. Like, they're literally, it's a financial advice thing.
Yeah.
So take it for what it is and that's it, right?
Yeah.
There are so many people out there that try to apply everything that somebody is to everything else.
Like wholesale. Like,
yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever loved a president of the US, right? There's people that I've liked. There's people that I've voted for that they say something and I'm going, I wish they wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean I completely write the guy off. It means that I still appreciate what he's doing. I think he may have slipped up in this area or that area or whatever, right?
Yeah, but people will just condemn him and be like, nope, can't vote for that guy.
Yeah.
Get somebody else in there.
Yeah, and little did we know, you don't actually have to string a sentence together to become president.
No, you can be a complete fucking retard.
Babble all day long, right?
Dude, oh man, the funniest thing ever. I don't know if my father-in-law listens to this or not, but so I go fishing with him last week, right? He's in his 70s. Vietnam veteran, Purple Heart recipient. I've said it on the show 100 times. One of the greatest men I've ever known, right? Mm-hmm. His brother's older than him. When I go down there, I always ask, is Ed going to go with us? I love Ed. He's awesome. Right. He's like the greatest uncle that's not like really my uncle by blood, right? So we're going fishing, you know, and Joe's up there and he's trying to string a sentence together and he's babbling, blah, 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 blah. And like literally, I couldn't understand what he's saying. And his brother literally says to them, it looks at him and goes, hey, Biden, try to string a fucking sentence together, would you? I mean, dude, I laughed so hard.
Right.
Like, I couldn't even, like, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
One of the greatest fishing trips I've ever been on. I love those guys, man.
And like another example of this funny. Is Matt Rife, comedian.
Okay. I like Matt Rife. He's funny.
So he took advice from others in the comedy space and in the entertainment space. But he runs his own race. And what I mean by that...
You have an example or are you just talking?
Two examples.
Okay.
So one example...
I was hoping he's getting there.
Yeah. One example is prior to his comedy tour tickets going on sale, he massively ramped up his social media presence. And he started dropping reels of all the crowd work that he does.
Yeah. Which is hilarious.
Which is hilarious. And
those
and
5-minute shorts are good.
And then they're absolutely hilarious. But they also paint, it was very intentional. In other words, he didn't drop reels of his show. He has a show and then he works the crowd.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to drop reels of the show because if you see enough reels, you've pretty much seen the show. So why buy tickets, right? Yeah. So he only drops reels of the crowd work.
Yeah.
And that makes you fall in love with him, right? Well, then in addition to that, he releases, okay, so he releases his tickets and they go crazy and they sell out all these shows all over the place. My wife just literally, her and a girlfriend wanted to go see Matt Rife.
This isn't a good example because it's just dumb.
Well,
but whatever.
Her and a girlfriend wanted to go see Matt Rife and he was coming to Kansas City and they were trying to buy tickets and they couldn't. And so they literally just worked their way out and the closest show they could find to buy tickets for, and they bought these tickets 18 months ago, by the way, the closest city they could find to buy tickets for was Seattle.
Yeah, that's the furthest city from this place. Yeah. You know that, right? Like, I think Miami might be a little further, but that's like the most far away place from here.
They had to fly to Seattle to go see him, and they turned into a weekend trip and a girls trip.
I mean, I like to do a lot of things, but I'm not going to Seattle.
Dude, I'll tell you what, the nature, they went on some hiking trails and everything else.
Yeah, they almost got abducted, too.
Well, that was in downtown.
Oh, yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make it less true.
Yeah. No, it didn't. No.
Dude, this would make the Seattle a great place.
It wasn't a sequoia that tried to abduct him. It was a homeless guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, driving a sequoia, but still. No, I'm
kidding. That's funny. Oh, my God.
So another thing Matt Rife does is he examines the comedy scene and he learns what works and what doesn't. And he found a little niche that nobody had ever exploited. And so he went hard and heavy into this niche. He makes fun of everybody in a wheelchair in the audience.
Yeah.
And it, initially, when you think about it, you're like, oh, how could he?
No, he makes fun of everyone.
He makes fun of people in wheelchairs because they want to be included too. He's not...
Yeah.
He's not hatefully making fun of them.
No.
He's providing the exact same...
No, it's very tactful and tasteful.
Like white versus black or straight versus gay or man versus woman, the same humor, only he applies it to the wheelchair people.
Yeah. And it's pretty good.
It is fucking hilarious.
It's pretty good.
And they're laughing their asses off with it. And and there's a lot of people with cerebral palsy that can comprehend well.
Yeah, their body's just
they hear
up.
What you're saying. They just can't communicate and they can't move their body very well, right?
Yeah.
And they are laughing their asses off at his jokes when he's making fun of them. And he's even gone on to say, like somebody called him out, like, how can you make fun of the guy in a wheelchair? Well, think about it. If I ignore him, that's not right.
Yeah.
You know, all the guy wants to do is be included.
Yeah.
He already had to park in a special spot. He's got a special seat that's made for wheel. Like, he's already getting all of these spotlight style treatments that exclude him and ostracize him from the rest of the general public.
Yeah.
Let's just make him part of the general public. If I'm going to make fun of this guy for being white or this guy for being black or this guy for being gay or this guy for being straight, I'm going to make fun of that guy for his legs not working.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to challenge him to race this other guy whose legs don't work.
Dude, those are legs.
this is why the Office is so successful, because they make fun of the ultra conservative. They make fun of the ultra liberal. They make fun of, you know, this and that. It's like they make fun of the black guy. They make fun of the white guy, the Chinese guy.
That's,
it's like
that was the whole problem with comedy.
Like no one's off limits. And so it's like, it goes to show you that like everyone has their stereotypes and it's like, yeah.
Right.
It's just, I'm glad that it's finally coming back around. Like all the woke crap was like, you can't make fun of anyone.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well,
I am so glad comedy's back.
So how are we going to laugh and have fun? And like if someone makes fun of me, I laugh. Like, I don't take it. Everyone, this
gets
back to
of you. They're making fun with you.
Well, this is what gets back to like the topic. Like, you can't be offended by every little thing.
Right.
You can't let one little thing dictate your race.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Right.
It's the exact same thing, just at opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right. Right. Let's roll on to topic two.
Do you want to just keep talking about this?
No, we're running a little short on time.
You want to try to squeeze this in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we can squeeze it in.
So topic two, simple scales and complex fails. This feeds off of topic one, believe it or not.
Does it?
Is most people way overcomplicate what it's going to take to be successful.
Yeah, they do.
Way overcomplicate it, right?
They overthink it.
So let me tell you a story real quick.
People do that in general.
People do that in general.
Yeah, but go ahead.
So let me tell you a story real quick. I just told this story to my wife today, and she had never heard it before, which is kind of crazy because I thought I
yeah, because all
her.
You do is talk. I know. Get it. Go ahead.
So when I was a young kid in elementary school, they had a science fair.
Oh, this is before we met then.
Yeah, this is before we met.
This is when you lived in Indiana?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think so.
When it had to have been.
So in the science fair, if you wanted to enter into the science, well, I think everybody had to enter into the science fair, but you either needed to do a science experiment where you proved or disproved a hypothesis, or you needed to do an invention. And
oh,
I was
Mitch
not
an invention, right?
Yeah. Cause I was not that great at science. So no. I'm like, I'm an inventor.
I'm an inventor, bitch.
I was lazy. I was simple, but I wanted to, like, I had to do the science fair, right? And so I invented.
I don't think of you as lazy ever.
Yeah.
Since I've known you, you've never been lazy.
Well,
so that's weird.
So I invented a shopping cart keeper. Basically, we all go to the grocery store, and if the parking lot's slanted or it's windy or something, we're worried about the cart wandering away from the car while we're loading groceries, right? So I invented this device that would attach your shopping cart to your car so that it wouldn't roll away while you were loading groceries.
Genius.
Genius.
I love it. Was it a suction cup?
Drew it all up, everything. Nope.
Magnet.
Here's the best part. I needed the device, right? So I go out to my dad's shop.
Oh, here
and I
we
grab
go.
A bungee cord and I
oh,
lay it on the table.
Go. Here we go.
That's it. You hook one end on the shopping cart, you hook one end on the car, boom.
Done.
Problem solved, invention.
Done.
Right? I won the science fair on the inventor category with that, by the way. The most effective and most useful invention.
I can't tell if that's a slight to the education system or great idea by you?
It's proof of the topic and the concept that simple scales and complex fails. A lot of people way overthink how complicated something needs to be. Right. Yeah. I was just talking with a guy the other day. He's got a person, a customer of his. This guy's probably going to join Tradewinds here pretty soon.
You sure we're bad on spots?
Yeah. So he,
what's the crew?
He's got a customer that agreed to about a $4,000 purchase and then to finance it. Well, if you own a home service company and you have a financing loop for customers to go through,
Does he have a third-party financer?
Yeah, third-party financer.
He's not actually financing.
Right.
Okay.
And you'll know that these third-party
nice
financers.
Nice farty.
Yeah, farty.
Farty, farty, farty,
fart, and fart, now fart. We're 3 years old.
Yeah. Poop, of course fart, we are. Of course we but, are.
So,
make that a short.
Any third-party financing company, they're going to approve the customer. They're going to get a preliminary scope of what's going to be done. And then once the work is done, the financing company actually has to reach out to the customer and verify the work was indeed done before they pay the company.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this customer is hanging out in this loophole of like, hey, I got the work done, but I'm not approving with the finance company that the work was done, because if I don't approve it, they don't pay them and they don't start billing me my payments, right?
Yeah.
And so he's thinking he's getting away with something, right?
Pictures, right?
So anyway, this guy calls me and he's way overcomplicating the issue. And we all do this, and I'm not bad-mouthing the guy at all. Like, we all do this. And he's calling me going like, I don't know how to put a lien on somebody's house. I don't know if I need to get an attorney or whatever. And I'm like, dude, you're way overthinking this. Like, attorneys are expensive. Liens are like, they work, but they take, like, the person has to sell the house for to work.
Yeah.
All you do is you simply like structure a strongly well-worded letter that's certified mail that says you have until this day to approve with the financing company that the work was done. Otherwise, we're taking this the legal route. You don't threaten to sue them. You don't make all of these false claims. You just let them know the direction you're going to head.
Yeah.
And you don't need a lawyer to draft that letter.
No. This
ChatGPT is about ready to ruin small claims. Small business lawyers.
Good.
Right. And it right.
Good.
In other words, you
douche
can
bags.
You can run through ChatGPT.
I just like, got myself sued. Beep that out also.
No. Like, you can run through ChatGPT how to structure the letter accordingly. You don't need a lawyer to write the letter. You don't need a lawyer to go to court. I've gone to court and won without a lawyer.
No, you don't.
And that's not worth bragging. That was like
That's the point of small claims court.
Yeah.
Is that you don't have to have a representative. You can represent yourself and they make it quote unquote quick turnstile.
Yeah.
Court.
Yeah.
But.
And so I gave the guy a little bit of advice. He texted me a preliminary copy of the letter. I'm like, that's great. Put a deadline on it. You know, all of this stuff. And so now he's off and running with that. But there's another example of somebody that was like way overcomplicating the issue of how to get your money.
I have a great example.
Okay.
When you started your business.
Yeah.
Like, you called me. You're like, hey, let's have some beers.
Yep.
And you're like, hey, I didn't realize how easy it was to get. This is right after you started. I didn't realize all I had to do was have insurance and my master's, and then they gave me a business license.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, dude. Everyone, when they start their business, thinks that it's so, I have to have a lawyer and I have to start my LLC and I have to do all this stuff. And they get inside their own head and they put that stuff off for 3 years and they're like, oh, it took me an hour and a half.
Well,
like,
so
that's just people's nature.
To get your LLC,
they're
you
scared.
Have to submit to the Secretary of State, you have to submit an operating agreement. And that is basically a legal document that talks about who owns the company, if there's multiple owners, who has what share, what percentage.
Yeah.
And if it's equal 50-50, then you have to involve like a third-party tiebreaker person, a non-biased third-party tie, and all this stuff. And everyone thinks...
Or just go 51-49 and move on with your life.
Everybody thinks that they got to go to a lawyer and have that drafted up, and they put this hurdle in front of them, right?
Yeah.
I called up my buddy who's got a business and I said, hey, can you send me over a copy of your operating agreement?
Yeah.
But like an unlocked copy.
Yeah.
And he's like, sure. So he emails it over to me. I read through it. I change all of his business name to Smedley Plumbing. I change all of his specific business attributes to mine.
Yeah.
Deleted some, added some, submitted it to the Secretary of State, and boom.
Done.
Operating agreement complete. It took me 20 minutes and three emails and $0.
Yeah.
And no lawyers.
Yeah.
Right? And again, it's simple scales, complex fails, right? How many people have held off on starting their business because they just can't find a lawyer to write their operating agreement?
No, it's because they can't get out of their own way.
Yeah. You go to ChatGPT and you say, give me an operating agreement for a single member LLC that wants to start a plumbing company in this state. All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show. Boom. ChatGPT's got it.
Yeah.
Done.
Well, and like you were saying before,
I didn't even have ChatGPT when I started our company.
Dude, when I did mine 15 years ago, I did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just went on Google and was like, what would this be?
Mm-hmm.
And then I like pulled four or five down and I downloaded them into Word and I put them together and I took my own stuff out and I was like, okay, I'm done.
And a lot of people think that we're like dangerous by giving this advice.
No.
Literally, the Secretary of State will give you examples of operating agreements that you can use.
Yeah.
For free.
For free. And there are other websites that will give you them for like $5.99.
Yeah.
Like literally $6 or $9.99 or whatever.
Right.
$29.95. Like,
right.
And they will, like, you can go on there, you can pay the $29.95, give them all their information, and all they're doing is taking everyone else's out, putting yours in it, sending it to you. And that's like, it takes them 37 seconds.
Right. There's another story that I want to talk about on the same thing.
That's okay. Go ahead.
And it's we were on a coaching call last night with one of our Tradewinds members, and he was going over his marketing budget. He's not a newer member, but he's newly upgraded to where he gets our private two-on-one coaching calls.
Yeah, good guy too.
Great guy.
Yeah.
And so we started learning a little bit about him. And when you're new into these coaching calls, the learning curve is steep, right? We don't know a lot about him. He doesn't know a lot about us.
There's a lot of information. The first 2 months is a lot of information.
First two or three calls is just, we're still learning who each other is, right?
Yeah.
And so
you need to do this. You need to do that. Like, it's a lot of work.
We learned that the marketing agency that he was using, he basically went to this marketing agency and said, I want the best marketing I can get. And they gave him all the options. And he said yes to all the options. And at the amount of money he was spending in marketing compared to the size, the sales volume that he's doing each month was way lopsided. He was way overspending in marketing, and he was doing things that you don't need to be doing at that size in marketing. And I'm not digging his marketing agency or anything else. It's no different.
Well, not him either. Like, he was doing what he thought was best for him to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it's no different than if somebody comes to me and says, what's the absolute best water heater I can get? And I give them that option and they take it. That didn't mean I took advantage of them. Right. They asked, I gave them options and they took the most expensive one.
If I came to Mitch and was like, Mitch, I got these 250 gallon electrics. I'm tired of this. What do I do? And Mitch is like, you need two Navians.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You never run out and this and that. And that's the top option. If I take it, that's no fault on Mitch.
Yeah, it didn't mean I screwed you.
Yeah,
and it doesn't mean you made a poor choice either, right?
No, it means that I accepted it and I was like, let's go with it.
And so we were able to dive in and learn. And this is the benefits of like David and I doing. This was the benefits of David and I doing Tradewinds was like, you know, I've recently been at the $40,000 a month level and the $30,000 a month level in business. And so, you know, I know exactly what it takes in today's climate to market for those. We did 1.2 million without spending more than like, I don't know, $1,800 a month in marketing. And all that was like website maintenance and that's it.
Yeah. And that's stuff you just have to have.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's just upkeep.
And so
we spend that at Tradewinds now.
In one call, we saved the guy, what, $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month?
Told him to shut his PPC off. So it may end up being like 10.
Yeah. We saved the guy anywhere from $4,000 to $10,000 a month in marketing just in one call. And another thing that we learned in that experience was he was paying a marketing agency to do his Facebook posts for him. And again, newer into business, especially if you don't know social media, you think you need to pay somebody to run your social media. Well, I went through the last like 10 Facebook posts that this company had done on his business's behalf, and they fucking sucked. They were like plumbing factoids and cool infographics and tons of bright colors. They look cool. They had zero engagement, none whatsoever, yeah. Right?
People can see through that stuff. And people want genuine
yeah.
things that you're doing.
So we coached him up on how to make a genuine post and you don't need your marketing agency to write Facebook posts yeah. for you. He made his first Facebook post on his own in his business this morning.
Was good. I saw it.
And it's already got 10 times the engagement of any of the last 10 posts his high-paid marketing agency was doing.
Yeah.
And that's not a pat on our back. That's not anything. His post wasn't anything spectacular, but it wasn't created by a marketing agency. It was created by a business owner who has the touch and feel and passion for the business that he owns.
Yeah.
A marketing agency has the touch and feel and passion for the money you're paying them, not for the results they can deliver you.
Yeah. Like you can feel it. And you can tell when posts are, how do I say this? When they're legitimate.
Yeah.
And they're actually what's going on in that person's life.
Right.
Like you can, you know what I mean? And then you remember them.
Yeah.
Like that creates something in your brain that's like, okay, I remember that guy was doing this
yep.
that day. Austin posted this in about his Smith Media LLC. I remember that. I remember the photos. I remember the video of him and Caitlin or her buying those stupid Legos. Like I remember those things. You know what I mean?
Yep. I didn't pay him to say that.
No, thanks, you Dave. Didn't, but you're welcome. But like, those are the things that you remember, things
right.
that are actually going on in a person's life or in their business. Like we have naturally become, how do I say this? We've naturally been able to filter out the fake crap on Facebook.
Yep.
It's almost like we've just over time have learned to realize fake scroll, 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 scroll. Oh, that's legit. Stop and look at it.
Well, right.
We've trained our own brains
yep.
to recognize what's manufactured and what's genuine.
What's authentic.
Yeah.
So
authentic. Thank you. I've been looking for that word for 20 minutes. Took you that long?
I've got his profile pulled up here. You go back to the last, you have to go back through the last 8 posts that his high paid marketing agency made to get the same number of likes and shares as his one post that he made 4 hours ago.
Yeah.
He made one post with the heart of a business owner that's organic and authentic, and it has more likes and shares than the last 8 posts made by his high paid marketing agency.
Yeah.
It's real, it's authentic, and it works,
yeah.
right?
People can see through that crap.
Again, simple scales and complex fails. You don't need to research marketing agencies. You don't need to find out how to afford a marketing agency. You don't need to find out how to talk with a marketing agency. You're doing the jobs every day. You're fixing faucets, you're replacing electric panels, you're cleaning ducts, you're doing tile work, you're doing your craft every day.
You don't need to get there until, like we've talked about this a lot, you do not need to be looking up marketing agencies and literally thinking about spending a lot on marketing until you're over that $1 million mark.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, people are always like, oh, well, that's for a plumbing company or an HVAC or electric.
No, that's for any company.
That's for almost any company until you're over that $1 million mark.
Yeah.
Like you can handle all the marketing on your own.
Yeah.
Like it does not take much to get to that $1 million mark.
Dude.
Peeps, especially this day and age. When everything's so freaking expensive. Austin and I were just talking about it before the show.
Something I was going to say too is I had this epiphany. I'm sitting there. I'm like, okay, what can I do to market? And I'm like, I literally have everything I need.
Yeah.
To do, I'm like, skilled editor, videographer. I have all the equipment here. I'm like, I have no excuse.
You
to
have
not
no
have good well, ads.
You literally have no excuse. Like right now, and I'm not throwing Austin under the bus at all. But if Austin literally wanted to tell Mitch to get bent, like there is no excuse that he couldn't leave Mitch and be on his own.
Right.
Like there's the only thing that gets in your way is overcomplicating things and then having the drive and the initiation to do it. Now that's easily I can say that a lot easier than it's done, obviously, right? Like, you have to be able to have that drive and that commitment, and not everyone can do that. But there's literally nothing stopping you.
Right.
The world is open to marketing now. Yeah. It's not the 50s where you have to pay a marketing agent $1 million to write your Bud Light commercials. Well, like, those days are over.
And here's the proof of concept in this. Everybody's got social media. You see big national and global brands that have ads that look like every other Facebook reel you've ever seen.
Qdoba is a big one doing that.
Yeah. All of them.
Like, it's just looks like, it looks like a cell phone. What's funny is there are actually some of those are, they're using like $100,000 cameras and they're purposely making it look like a phone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like,
And Austin and I have had to have that talk with some of the videos that we've made where Austin's quality was too good. And I'm like, it looks unauthentic. And we had to kind of dial back the quality a little bit. Right. Yeah. Now, it's hard. Like, Austin doesn't want to because he wants to flex his skills to make it that.
Because he's a professional.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. But, but when it comes to the effectiveness and the results that we're looking for, it's like, okay, too professional. Like, again, the same thing with the guy we were just talking about. Those posts that were made by the marketing agency, they're great. They look cool, but they're unauthentic because they look too good.
Well, it's the same thing as heating cooling. Like, I go to someone's house and they're like, oh, I want to do this. And like, what I want to do is go, look, if this was my house, I would do this, 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 and this. Because my, like, I know that that's the right answer, but it's not my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not my mind's eye that's seeing that. It's theirs.
Yeah.
I have to convince them to put something in that they're comfortable with. Yeah. It's the same thing when it comes to marketing.
Yeah.
Austin wants to see it professional 100%, the best quality it can be.
Yep.
Can't be that way.
Right.
Because the people that want to buy off it, they don't want to see that. They want to see what they quote unquote think is authentic. And it's usually dumbed down from that.
Right.
It's the same thing as it's sales. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. It's really sales.
And you're way more capable and powerful than you think you are.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Stuff. I literally just posted that. Like,
yeah, that's a good way to say it. Yeah.
So literally. Where's it at?
Damn.
It's going to be...
This cold's going to end up killing me, I think.
So 2 hours ago, I found
maybe
this,
not.
I found this photo in my memories today, and so I saved it and reshared it today.
I saw it. It was good.
It's a picture of a guy on a freshly poured foundation, and they've got the flooring up.
Yeah, with the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, and so they've got floor joists and plywood down on the flooring, and there's a dude in a wheelchair stringing out electric cords.
Yeah.
Right?
He's working, baby.
And it
says, get it, dog.
My words say, you know, thinking about skipping work today because you're just not feeling it, just know that this dude is on the job site early, stringing out electric cords and doing it from a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You're capable of far more than you think you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Get out of your own way, man.
Get out of your own way. So many people would look and be like, I can't work today. I'm in a wheelchair. I can't work today. I stayed out too late. I can't work today. I usually go to bed at 10 and I didn't fall asleep till 12.
Yeah.
I can't work today because my cat's not feeling well. I can't work today because I had the runny shits this morning and I might be sick.
And that's because I drank too much vodka last night.
It could be.
Dude,
right?
We've talked about this a ton and I'm like, this is a great way to end the show. Like, man, like when we were 21, think about it. Like, how many times was I on a job? Like, still drunk from the night before.
Dude, there were times where you and I went to work on no sleep and the black X's still on our hands.
Yeah.
And we're plumbing and doing HVAC in new houses.
Yeah, and it's 100 degrees outside. You're literally vomiting for the first hour. And you're like, then you have a little food, some water, and you're like, okay, man, I'm back.
Yep.
And you're just kicking ass for the rest of the day.
Some of that is age, right? I don't know if I could do that
today. I'd be dead now. Yeah. I'd be dead now.
But...
like, it would kill me now.
I do remember one day where I got like 2 or 3 hours of sleep before going into work. And I look in the mirror in the truck, like at the end of the workday. And I had the black X's on my hands.
Your hand, eyes are so red.
No, I had a black X on my cheek because when I fell asleep, my hand was on my cheek and the ink transferred. And I worked all day like that.
Yeah. Who cares?
Know? Yeah.
What's the complexity of someone being like, well, I don't know if I want to go in and pitch this person because, you know, well, the money they pay me, how much is going to go to marketing, how much is going to go to this? And just like, dude, get the money first and then figure out
all the things. Nothing good. Out of your own head. Yeah. Like, literally, it's get out of your own head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop overthinking shit,
you're 10
man.
Steps ahead of, it's like, dude, just get your money first and then we'll figure it out.
And this is a topic for a whole nother day. Like, a lot of it's self-esteem and a lot of it's the way you're raised and a lot of it's like just, you know, mind, this is a stupid saying I say all the time, mind fuckery.
Yeah.
Like, just there's no reason to doubt what's going on. Just right. overcome it. What's the worst? Austin and I talked about this before the show. What's the worst that's going to happen?
Right.
When you follow up with a sales call, what's the worst that's going to happen, Austin?
They say no.
They say no again.
Say no. Who cares? Move on to the fucking next one.
Right.
Life's too short. Get on with it, dude.
Grant Cardone releases this infographic quite often. I see it like 4 times a year. And he talks about the percentage of buyers that purchase on the first contact is 2%. The percentage of buyers that purchase on the second contact is like 7%. The percentage of buyers that purchase...
7, 5,
yeah.
Okay. No, I'm just doing math in my head. Go ahead.
So the percentage of buyers that purchase on like the 5th through the 10th contact is like 70%.
Yeah, because no one else is hitting them up that late.
Because everyone else has already given up, and you're the only one left in the running.
Yeah.
Right?
Sometimes persistence is, like, to be honest, like, my wife tells me this all the time, I'm the most persistent person she's ever met.
Right.
That's just, sometimes persistency mm-hmm. and not giving up and saying, I don't care what fucking happens, I'm going to make this work.
Right.
Like, sometimes that is what just drives you to success.
Well, and a lot of people hear that and they think, I can't be that overbearing. It doesn't mean you're being overbearing. It means you're being attentive.
It means you're not giving up.
Hey, Dave, I know we talked 3 or 4 weeks ago about that water heater and you were getting some other bids. Have you settled in on a contractor yet or not?
No. I haven't. I haven't.
Any other questions do you have? Right? Like, yeah. That's I'm not overbearing. I'm being attentive. Like Dave appreciates the follow up.
I have a great example of this. Austin texted me today.
Yep.
Dave, hey, dude, I know that you wanted me to edit those videos from the ski trip. Like literally this was in February and I do, but I'm dragging my feet and have not looked through them. He's like, hey, seriously, when you get through them, like, don't forget, I'm still here. Like, that's what he texts me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're such a dick, Austin.
Yeah. I'm going to have...
How dare you be so overbearing?
I'm going to have him do it.
Right.
But it's just me that's dragging my feet. Right. I'm going to have him do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if he doesn't send me that stuff, and I end up just happenstance falling to someone else that can edit videos...
Yeah.
And I've looked through them.
Could burn his house down.
I could just have that guy do it.
Right.
But no, I'm not, because Austin's my guy and he's fucking still hitting me up about it.
Right.
Well, right. This
I am going to have you do it, buddy.
Okay, well, this pitch I got kind of ignored on, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, they just don't want me. No, like,
no, you're going to give it again.
A week from now, I'm going to go visit the coffee shop again and be like, hey, I sent you a message. Just come in and get coffee. If you got, like, I'm not going to, you know, I think the thing is like, you definitely want to probably space it out like one day, then 1 week, then maybe a month or something.
Yeah.
But
don't
let
them go to the wayside.
Yeah.
Hold on to those leads.
Cause I think this is learning from Mitch. I think one of the things that's probably hard for business owners to let go is like, this is for her social media and for just kind of the reason of like, that's really important to her, like the look and the aesthetic of her coffee shop. And so I think that's harder probably for owners to give that up versus like, oh, come be a manager for my coffee shop.
Yeah, people, not to get off topic, but people when it comes to leads, they just, after 1, 2, or 3, they kill them.
Right.
Like, that's just not the way it works. Like, what did I text you the other day? Hey, Mitch, you know, we have like 2 openings in the captains.
Right.
Like, whatever your last lead opportunities were that people were like, hey, we want one-on-one, you need to hit them up.
Right.
Or the go.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, let's go. And there's no argument there. It's like, yeah, you're right.
Right.
Get in there and hit them up again.
Sometimes it's just stuff slips your mind. Sometimes, like, Dave's not being overbearing when he asks that. He's just following up.
Yeah. Right? Hey, dude. Hey, we got some openings. You need to hit him up.
Right. Oh,
yeah, you're right. I didn't know we had any openings.
Yep.
Like, let's go. I'll text him today.
Right.
Like, that's just, you know, you have to be diligent and be persistent. Or you just miss, like, you can miss really good opportunities.
Yeah.
And like, let's be honest, it's usually just because people are lazy.
Well, it's because people are lazy, but also complacency allows for the bare minimum level of success.
Well, complacency breeds complacency.
That too.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, you have to try to be unsuccessful these days. There are so many.
Yeah, that's true.
There are so many government handouts. There are so many safety nets for people to fall back on that
you literally
have to try to be unsuccessful. You have to be closing your eyes and ignoring a lot of things today to be unsuccessful. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be successful if you don't ignore things and just open your eyes, but like, It's like let's just say my business imploded, right? Worst thing, worst case scenario, my business implodes. Okay, I go get a job at a plumbing company. I'm pretty sure they'll hire me.
I'm pretty sure you'll be making more than you're making now.
Probably.
Yeah.
Considering my salary now is 75 grand a year.
Yeah. And then your wife's got to get a job. Well, what do you do? Like, you know, it's not.
I don't know.
It's not.
I get paid at a. I get paid what I'm worth at another plumbing company. My wife probably doesn't have to get a job.
No,
because
I put her ass to fucking work.
Well, like tying this back.
That's just
to
gravy
the,
on top. You're making all the payments. That's just bonus.
Yeah.
Well, like tying this back to the complex fails, what someone would do, they would get rejection or ignored on a call and be like, well, let me go online and look up 10 steps for how to be a better this and that and this and that. I'm like, dude, it's the person probably just forgot, or you need to ask again next week. It's like not complicated.
Dude, look at Major League Baseball players.
Paralysis by analysis, baby.
Like you bat a 300 and you're in the Hall of Fame, right? That means you're missing 70% of your at-bats.
Well, it means you're not getting on base 70% of your at-bats.
Right.
Well, that's actually not true either, because a walk doesn't. Okay,
right.
That goes towards your on base, but not your batting.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You're missing.
I don't want to upset George Diaz right now. Like,
but what I'm saying is, Hall of Fame in baseball is still missing 70% of the time.
Yeah.
And so, but meanwhile, here we get told no two times in a row, and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm a failure, and we let it wreck our whole fucking day.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and we've all heard the analogy that. I don't know that. Let me just look it up real quick.
Not the analogy. We're talking about Mitch going to the bar picking up chicks. God, I've seen him. I have literally seen Mitch get turned down 15 times in a bar and then just keep on trucking. Like most guys after five, they're like, okay,
so
I'm ugly. Mitch just fucking keeps going.
Here's the analogy.
100%.
Dave, if you had $86,400 in your checking account and somebody stole $60 from you.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Probably not worrying about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have 86,400 seconds in each day.
Yeah.
And we let a bad 60 seconds of the day
ruin our whole fucking day. You're right.
We'll throw away the $86,000.
Yep.
Because somebody stole 60 seconds from us.
I want to be 100% honest with you. Like, I'm a pessimistic person. That's me.
Yeah.
Like, I have to literally be mindful and be like, nope, that's not happening. And I have to tell myself.
Yeah.
Like, this has been a hard transition for me for the last, 8 years. No. I'm fine.
Dude.
It's 60 seconds. It's one bad thing. Move the fuck on with your life.
You see it all the time in driving. People have a one-hour drive to work, and they've got that one erratic driver that's next to them for 60 seconds.
Mitch.
And
Mr. fucking road rage when we were in our 20s.
Used to be.
When we were in our 20s.
Used to be.
I said when we were in our 20s.
But
this
like,
motherfucking goddamn, I mean, dude would lose his mind.
Literally, all you got to do is tap your brakes and let that guy get a couple of cars ahead and he's somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
And boom, you're back onto your $86,000.
Yeah.
Right? But instead, we're going to take the 60 that he stole from us and we're going to burn another 80 grand trying to prove him wrong.
Yeah.
That might just cost us our life. It's definitely going to cost us a good day.
I'm a better driver than that, but
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
But that's, if you put that context into everything, it's like, dude, none of that shit matters. Let it roll off. Focus on you.
And let's be honest, like that's an age thing.
Like, yeah, some of it's a maturity thing.
As we get older, we learn that as we get older. I don't want to say it's an age thing. It's a learned habit.
Yeah.
Because of all those things have happened and we've experienced those.
Well, and some of it's our upbringing too.
Yeah, but when we talk to and I talk about this a lot in TradeWinds when the Monday Motivationals and talk to guys and all that stuff, like the young guy, dude, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you're talking about a $60,000 job. Let it fucking go.
Yeah.
Get your check and win.
Yeah.
Winning is not standing in front of someone belittling them. Winning is getting the check, going to the bank, and then buying the fucking hot rod you want.
So
that's winning.
So when I got asked to resign from one of the larger companies here in town.
See, I would have shit on someone's desk, and that's the wrong thing to do.
Right. I could have burned them at the stake. I could have taken them to court because they stole 13 grand from me. I could have done all this stuff.
Yeah.
Instead, I took what I could. I left. And within a matter of 2 years, I hired away about $2 million in revenue producers from that company.
Yeah, and it felt good, didn't it?
And that felt so much better than the 13 grand they stole from me.
Yeah.
Right?
Delayed gratification is a real thing.
Yeah.
And once we learn how to accept it, Like, it makes it easy to do.
Right.
Or revenge can be patient, too.
Yeah.
Easy.
The people who get revenge, they're the most patient people.
Yeah.
First off, I'm Job. I'm the most patient person in the world.
You know, we'll end it on this.
We're late. Yeah.
My mom texted me, and she said, I can't wait for you to be so successful and see your name plastered all over the nation and everything. I said, yep. As soon as they find the bodies, I'll be there. I'm kidding.
Dude, I love your folks. They're fucking great.
They're funny.
They are funny.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this show. If this show taught you something, if it made you think about things in a different light, if it made you change your perspective, do us a favor. Give us a 5-star review on the show. But also share this show with somebody that you like. You're listening to this show and you're thinking of somebody that needs to hear this. You know somebody in your mind that needs to hear this. Hit the share button on whatever platform you're listening on and send this show to them. It might be yourself. It might be your social media. Who knows? But share the show. That's how we grow this this thing and make it bigger. So please do us a favor and share the show. Until next time, guys, we will see you later.
Love you.